Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Roarcast. My name's James Price, here to take you through the odyssey that is the Brisbane Roar podcast. We're the podcast that remembers fans who diss us on social media, especially you, ketchup boy. We're coming to find you, and we're going to get you. You know who you are, and you know what you did. I am joined by two good fellows. Mr. Dan Butler, how are we?
Hi. Yeah, I'm well. I'm going great. I'm excited.
Excited to talk football. That is fantastic here. Another man that's always excited to talk football, Mr. Dave Stewart.
How you going, mate? How you going, boys?
Yeah, it's good. It's good to record. It's been
how is everybody else listening as well? I hope you're all well. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
And tell us how you've been. Leave a 1 minute voice message.
Voice message. Yeah, that option's still there.
Give us the intricacies of ordering 99 ketchups through Menulog through Macca's, and let us know how you go.
Yeah, look, he cheated in the end anyway. He cheated.
He did.
Yeah, and Dan's just like, what are you guys talking about? Because he's not on Twitter.
Dan has no idea. That's okay.
We'll have been saved.
We'll clue him in later on.
Yeah. Look, it's... Boy, it's been tricky to find a time to record that seemed to make sense. So we're squeezing this in between the Newcastle Jets away game for the Raw and who are they? Melbourne Victory home game for the W League. So that's when we're recording this, and we'll get into all that. So we'll start with the most winningest team, though.
We've had like a 3 or 2.5 weeks of time where nothing happened except for a couple of dub games, and we picked the one day in between two games to record because that's the most logical
time. Exactly. Well, look, it would have been very unfair if we had to end up talking about three dub games in one episode.
So two
was acceptable, three was unacceptable.
We would have forgotten stuff from the other one, so that's fair enough.
Yeah, that's very true. We absolutely would have. And we'll have to go look at the notes later to see what happened, to try and remember what happened. That's just the way it's going to have to roll. Let's get into a bit of A-League chat, though. It was the Newcastle Jets 1, Valentino Yule in the 38th minute for them, the former Western United prodigy. But it was Brisbane Roar, that's right, the Orange Good Guys, 2, Riku Danzaki in the 6th minute with a massive deflection. And Dylan Wenzel-Halls in the 61st, slotting it in very nicely. Apparently 3,703 people in attendance there at McDonald Jones Stadium, which isn't too bad in these COVID times. I think they can only do 25% capacity in New South Wales at the moment. Bookings to Roy O'Donovan in the 2nd minute, and oh boy, he earned that one. And Nigel Bougard drink in the 59th minute. He's always getting a booking, Nigel Bougard. Where do you want to start? How about we just think about some overall thoughts, Mr. Danny Butler?
No, it was all right. Hey, it was surprising because Newcastle have played more regularly, whereas we had 18 days off between, and we looked a little tired, and they looked up for it for a while. It was okay. Nothing to complain about, but yeah, we looked a bit lethargic, and that made it a bit scrappy, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, we've had, I don't even know how long a break we ended up having. It was about 2.5 weeks breaks between games.
Yeah. 18 days, they were saying. Yeah.
18 days, yeah. So that's 2.5 weeks because it was a midweek game, so that makes sense. Dave, what did you reckon overall, mate?
Yeah, lethargic. The first, we got away with this because we had two good first 15, 20-minute bursts in each half. First half, we came out like a house on fire and just, it was kind of like a gradual. We started at the top of where we were going to be, and we kind of gradually drifted down to kind of a sliding scale back to Newcastle being the dominant side. And then the same thing happened second half. We started out, they actually started out pretty much on top first five, but then we kind of came back, became slightly better team for about 10, 15, and that's when we scored, and then back down to that sliding scale. It would have been nicer for a debutant goalkeeper not to have 15 corners to face.
15 corners, 58 balls into the box or something like that.
It's a ridiculous amount. It was insane. But he's there's obviously work to do still. Newcastle haven't been the best. They've got something about them still. Newcastle aren't a bottom of the table side the way they're playing at the moment. They're just losing each game by a goal. So maybe they're just maybe they've got some issues in terms of just being clinical, which, I mean, you could probably say that from our game against them.
Really, Dave, you want to go with they weren't clinical.
They weren't clinical.
Like 70% of field possession and like a bajillion shots to three and...
I know, hot take, right?
A little bit
hot
to take. Work on then.
Hot take. Yeah. And Roy O'Donovan hasn't scored yet either, mate. Do you want to bring that into the conversation or...
I need to. I just leave that stat sit there to speak for itself.
He's yeah, on, isn't he? So he's got to get out. The sooner they get rid of him, the better.
Look, if in terms of how we played, you've got, like I said, there was some probably decent kind of moments, but there's definitely improvement to be had. Although our back line, solid as a rock.
Yeah.
And that was that they probably, as much as we had 70 corners against us, they, I think, protected Freak, as we've been told now that it's definitely Freak. They protected Freak in terms of the shots that he had to take in. He still did a big job, but not nearly as much as what he might have done with, say, last year's defense or the year before's defense. Especially
and I was worried. I was worried when we went from, say, five across the back to four across the back. Like, we had a bit of a safety net. We got a whole bunch of new defenders to the club, and it was like, oh, okay, yeah. But no, yeah, Aldred and Gillespie are really steering the ship, and I guess that's why we had Jack and Corey for so long. Like, we know what we get out of them.
All that really changed in terms of the back line from last year to this year is we don't have Scott Neville playing there. He's just because he's on loan. So nothing else is different.
Sheer number of players, right? We just got one less in the back, so there's not as much security, but it's in midfield.
Jack and Corey are very much used to playing back there as well, so.
That's it. Well, until Trewin came on and Jack went up like up near the top of the pitch.
Yeah,
he'd be getting nosebleeds, that boy.
Yeah, that was the bizarrest sub. Like, that's all we've got to go onto a wing is Jack. We're going to put Jack in good forward. Radio.
I don't know if that was getting probably ahead of ourselves, but I don't know if that was exactly the idea. Like, if anything, we just reverted to how we used to play last year when we brought him on. Like, it was more of a overall shape change rather than just a one for one and move Jack further up, you know? I think both Jack and Corey played higher and we sat three guys behind them, which is what...
You think Trewin was more central then?
Yeah, they were all centre-backs, I reckon.
Yeah.
So I reckon he decided, screw this, we're not getting through the middle. Let's change shape and get around. Right. I mean, it helped because he also moved Scotty McDonald. Yeah.
I can't log it.
Talk about the goals, pricey.
Yeah, let's talk about the goal. Oh, well, you know, I did want to start with the debut start for Macklin.
Okay.
I mean, we should at least hear this. So, Jamie Young, if you don't know, has a knee injury and is gone for a few weeks. So, the Freak, as Dave alluded to, is apparently his actual name. We've always been calling him Freck. I think our manager thought his name was Freke, apparently. So, you know, we might have been at least closer than our manager in knowing what he was. But, yeah, I think just well done to the win as well. We've already sort of talked a number of shots and stuff, but I just wanted to get that out of it. But let's talk about the goals.
We need to introduce everyone. So now that we know his name's Freak, we can call him our goal freak, our goal freaker. Yeah, that works. Goal freaker.
Super freak, he's super freaky.
Yeah, the super freak's got to be what you go with, right?
Yeah, super freak.
Super freak.
Yeah, I mean, well, my proposed chant is super freak, super super freak, super super freak, super Macklin freak. Classic. Works.
Oh, they just changed the last word to freke just to piss people off.
Yeah,
get the syllables in right too. Right, you get the right syllables, and it pisses people off.
Yeah. Yes, and Matasato Kudo came off the bench as well in the 85th minute, but not much to probably show for that. But let's talk about the goals, Dave. What do you reckon? Ricky Danzaki, a great strike from distance, though it's fair to say Paul Stanley's foot helped a fair bit.
I think he deliberately put it there so he got the deflection off Paul Stanley's foot. I think he deliberately tried to go for the deflection, knowing that he wouldn't be able to score from that angle otherwise, because Danzaki is just quality and he knows what he wants to do. Obviously a bit of fortune, but still, he was given time and space, and well, I can see your credit card details there, Pricey. That's good to know.
Yeah, that's good. It's a
prepaid card. Just for the listeners who can't see what's going on, Pricey's video has just decided to go AWOL on us, so that's nice. He's a bit fortunate, but they gave him a lot of space. And it happened a couple of times where we had a few shots from distance just because they sat off and let players run at them. And if you have, 10 yards worth of space to take a touch, have a look and have a go, then you're going to score some of those goals. It's going to happen. And Dan Zaki has been looking really good this year already. And I'm stoked. I'm stoked that he scored. I'm stoked that he was able to make the most of an opportunity that came early, because it really put us, gave us some space to breathe, especially the way the half ended up playing out. Because if the half continued to play that way and we hadn't scored a goal, might have been a different story for how the game came to be in the second half. So,
If the same pattern had followed for that second half, for that first half, as but without the goal, then that's would have been big things. But then, one of those things where if you don't have the goal, then maybe you don't quite drop off as much. It's chicken and egg sort of situation. So, let's talk about the second goal, and then we'll talk about Newcastle's goal. Buttsy, what did you reckon of Dylan Wenzel-Hall slotting at home?
Yeah, it was a really good. Just everything was good about that. Like really silky play, nice threaded pass, good run, and a real striker's finish. Because you're looking at Dylan Wenzel-Hall's and you're just trying to figure out if he's got it, because he's played a fair few, he's scored a few, but he's had like a staggered run, then he's had a few runs without a goal, and so you're sort of sitting there. We've tried to use him on the wing, sort of in behind Scotty McDonald, and you're just sitting there going, he just doesn't quite look like a striker for this level yet. And then he comes out and does something like that, and you're like, that's what we need. The finish was beautiful. And just everything was nice about that, and that's what we need more of, I think. And if he can maybe keep playing now, he's got a couple of goals under his belt, I think by the end of the year we might really see something good. So, really positive.
It was a fantastic finish, and the through ball as well from McDonald was just on a absolute platter. But and he spoke about it in these post-match interview about I think he tried near post a couple of times, hadn't worked, and he's like, okay, I'm going to put back a castle keeper, and it worked a treat here. So he's obviously thinking about his football and he's putting it into practice, and he's got a manager who believes in him and loves him. Like, it's the areas are right for Dylan Wenzel-Halls to have an even better season this season. And I think even Brenton Speed brought up in commentary around his stats compared when he started compared to when he's come off the bench, and he's not an impact player off the bench. He's a striker you need to be starting to get the most out of him, and just that's when he's going to score goals. So fantastic.
I think you're right about having a manager that's keen to play him as well. So the way the season's kind of set up, obviously with a lot more players coming up from an NPL level than maybe previously, the extra teams, which obviously opens up more spaces for those players to come through that ranks, naturally is going to mean there's going to be a bit more of a spread across all areas, but specifically defences. He's had a couple of years in the league now to kind of get used to the level and maybe be ready for playing regularly and against potentially weaker backlines, potentially weaker opponents. At the same time, he's cut through players like Bogard and Topol Stanley to do the goals this weekend. And obviously, turned Ansell inside out like a used condom. So against the Victory. So he's doing it against good quality players. And I think he's this is the season which is set up for him to succeed. Especially with a player like Scott McDonald as well, I've got a feeling he'll probably start to drop off a little bit in terms of how prolific he is in the side. I don't know if we're going to visit just this year or we're going to next year as well. I can't quite remember.
Just to the end of this, I'm pretty sure it was an 18-month deal when we signed him. So
whether he carries on after that will depend, I suppose, on how well he does this year. But I can certainly see Kudo becoming the player that kind of joins Wenzel-Halls. Wenzel-Halls being maybe the mainstay up front, and kind of McDonald and Kudo being the ones that switch in and out a little bit. So it's set up for Dylan to, you know, have a good season. You know, if we end up getting a player that scores 12 goals out of this year out of him, you know, with the rest of them supporting around, that would be a really good season for him, and would give him the platform then to kick on again. They make 15 goals, 20 goals.
When was the last time we were spoilt for choice up front? I mean, add Joey Chamness, Danzaki, Kudo, Wenzel Halls, Scotty McDonald. We've tried to push O'Shea further up, which I think is better for him and for the team. So that's five or six names trying to fight
for the spot. Do you want to include Gingham, mate? Gingham, you know, everyone's favourite player, Gingham?
Yeah. Throw him in there. Yeah.
Gingham, of course.
You can throw him in there. I'm going to take him out.
Jack Ingett now clearly a right winger as well, you know, like we've got options. We've got options, people.
Hey, Gillespie scored this year already as well.
Yeah.
Was it Parsons scored in preseason? Yeah.
Parsons.
Well, but yeah, we've got more options up front now, right?
What do you do? How do you fit them all in the team?
We had someone
play 15.
We had someone on the bench as well for the first time, as well, who I think is a more attacking player. So Keegan Jelovich was which I think the Kiwis picked up on because he's a Kiwi boy, so they pay a little more attention to that sort of thing. So yeah, we've got some good talent up there, and you know, if there's some good young players as well who are keeping the standards high up there as well, that's what you want, right? You want competition for spots and people pushing to improve the quality of the team. So now, let's actually probably talk about the goal we conceded, and then we'll get into the little good banter that went on as well. So Valentino Yule, he just sort of rose up above everyone else, and it was a pretty good header. I don't remember remembering this right.
Yeah, it was a header. He came in from deep, came a little bit deeper. So you had the pack of players kind of near post, but I think he kind of ran in somewhere between the penalty spot and the 18-yard box, and he's come into it with the momentum, and he's gotten his head to it first. So, I mean, well done to him. We'd conceded about 73 bazillion corners by that stage. So it was kind of a case of the pressure kind of building and just kind of boiling over a little bit. But at the same time, you know, he had to get there and get his head on it, and he did, and he put it past Freak. And
I think Freak was well blocked as well, like from the corner, like
everything was well blocked. It was so much traffic in that space that Yule's found the one little spot where there wasn't a bit of traffic, and it happened to be where the ball landed. So they could do that. They could do that move 10 times, and he wouldn't find that one space. Actually, they probably did do that move 10 times, given how many
corners they had. That's what I was about to say. How many corners they had? They definitely had another 10 goes.
It came out once because there just happened to be the ball in the right spot in the right gap. And that's all it was.
That's it. About, you know, good finish for the young lad as well, and he's apparently started the season pretty well. And I think Najarine was maybe the one pulling across, and he had some wicked play as well for them. So 15 corners to one.
There wasn't any wind there either, as far as I'm aware. So
we asked Raw fans in Sydney on the ground, and they told us no wind at all, which is what, especially because that cross that nearly swung in, like.
There's a couple where he's almost swung it in from the corner. He's kept Freak on his toes there. So Najarine, player to watch this year, I think, being on loan from Melbourne City at Newcastle. He's going to get the chance to play and really kind of develop and show his skills. He'll be a player to watch as the league, and probably one of their most dangerous players there at Newcastle.
Yeah, absolutely. And as he probably got tired, their options up in the forward line, and he got eventually subbed off as well. That's when they started to really just sort of pump it in without much thought, and that's when it was probably became easier to defend. But it was great, Danny. Danny, did you love the bit of Yule v Dylan Wenzel Halls? The love tap on the chin from Yule. Did you love that stuff, mate?
Yeah, I got to wonder where they came from. Like, they must have been at each other, but they play in different parts of the park, so I don't know. Were they marking each other at some point, or I don't know.
Literally, the only time they're near each other was after goals.
Yeah.
That's the only time they stand
right next
to each
other. That's what it is. He wasn't tapping him. He was just saying hi. Who are you?
I reckon they've said something at that start of the game, just as a bit of joke. And then Dylan Wenzel has said something after we've scored. This happened so soon afterwards. And Yule's remembered it and then tapped him on the chin to say, yep, got you back.
Yep.
Then straight afterwards, when Dylan scored, he's turned around ready to kick off, and he's basically, I don't know if what he said to him, but it looks like he turned around and just said 1-1 and then turned back. Another game it's called between him and Yule.
Yeah.
It's just him and Yule's battle now.
Him and Yule, yeah. You know, I would love to see it, right? A bit of attitude, young players coming through, you know, that's what we love, Dylan, right? Like the attitude and the fun. Like that.
Yule was loving it too, mate. Yeah. Yule was having it. They were both in for it, so that's great to see.
Yeah, absolutely great. We talked about the freak, man. Yeah, 15 corners, so many clearances, fouls. Well, that's a good stat that you've pulled out there, Dave. 16 fouls for Newcastle, 11 for us, and yet we would have won. It's absolutely under the pump.
Yeah. If you take Bugard out, how many fouls for Newcastle?
take Thurgate out. Yeah. Take Thurgate out. Thurgate threw in like 3 or 4 fouls.
He was up to at least 4.
I think they took him off because he was just chopping people.
Yeah, he was hacking bad. That was.
If we're gonna talk about fouls, second minute, Roy O'Donovan. That could have been a send off. He put studs into a rolling ankle. I only rolled because the studs went in there. So,
is that one of those ones where it's no lucky? I was going to say, is it lucky because it's like the second minute of the game, and you know, ref doesn't want to ruin the game because it's the second minute.
100%. I reckon the ref would have made that call if it was the 60th minute as a red card or VAR. Like, sometimes a ref might not see the angle, he'll just see the late tackle. Where the fuck was VAR on that? Like, yeah, they had the angle to show studs going in there. He wasn't exactly, you know, he didn't exactly
get the VAR works in Newcastle, does it?
Well, no, you're right, it doesn't. No, they don't have electricity there, so of course it doesn't.
I'd argue VAR never works. But that's another discussion.
Yeah. Join for when we get Ben on for a VAR only chat later. As a breakout,
I think podcast. Ben might be here. This is the fact that we mentioned VAR. It'll make his antennae has shot up.
He'll summon him.
He'll call in a minute. He'll just dial up and we'll be like, "Hey, where'd you come from?"
I was going to say, O'Donovan had
four. It's not the bat signal, only the VAR logo in the sky for Ben.
VAR signal. I like it.
Is that the same as the logo that covered over the W League the other week?
Yeah. It's just the Fox logo, just like half expanded out, just in the sky.
Hey, the sky.
Covering the moon.
So yeah, Thurgate conceded 4 fouls. O'Donovan conceded 4 fouls. So yeah, he had a few, and yeah, got himself yellow. And Bugard just picked up his lazy 3, mate. So yeah.
Quiet night at the office for Boogs.
Yeah, quiet night.
Get near Dylan. That's why.
That's 3 players, and that's 11 fouls.
So they equal the whole of our team. Our worst was actually Dylan Wenzel Halls with 3.
Yeah, well.
So, but, you know,
he did one. I think it was straight after Bugard got a yellow. At the very next time he touched the ball, Dylan just went through him and fouled him. And I'm certain he did that on purpose because he's like, ha-ha, you can't do anything. I was like, that's the sort of shit I like.
There's also the one where he's basically just like, I think it might have been against Bugard as well, where he's behind Bugard. He's basically hauled him around, got in front of him and landed on top of the ball and basically protected the ball right towards the end. And then as the referee's called it, he's kicked the ball away from between Bugard's legs.
That's good. good stuff. Think they were saying, oh, maybe you should get a yellow for that, but I think you forfeit the ability to get a yellow when the player standing over you is trying to drag you back to your feet. Like, neither of those actions was right, so you either book both of them or you just tell them to stop being kids and get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to give a shout-out as well in that game. Big Macca Gillespie in the back line. I thought he was immense on the weekend. Not the weekend, on the game. It was a midweek game, but I thought he was immense. And,
Yesterday,
yeah, I thought he was immense and gave him a good shout out on the game. And that last shoulder to shoulder challenge towards the end of the game.
Mwah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Mwah. Chef's kiss.
Big unit. Yeah. I know that he might not be the tallest, he'd be pretty close, but for square shoulders, like, I would not want to run into him in an alley.
That shoulder to shoulder, that challenge you just mentioned there, Pricey. And yeah, those square shoulders would not have helped. I don't know who it was that he bumped off. One of the Petrados boys, I think.
Yeah, I think it was one of the Petrados boys.
It was so well timed and so perfectly hit that Petrados, I think Dimi felt that from Saudi Arabia. That's how good it was, I think.
poor Panna. Poor Panna sitting in the sand watching their brothers felt it, you know? Like
such a good shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just on those stats, so there was 14 duels. It's interesting, 14 duels both for Aldred and Gillespie. Both of them won 10. Gillespie had 9 clearances on his own. Aldred 8 clearances. But Gillespie actually won 3 tackles, where Aldred didn't actually make a tackle. So, and Akbari and Daly in the midfield, 4 intercepts each. Pretty good stuff.
But what's your take, guys, on our little midfield pairing there, Akbari and Daly?
It seems to be working all right at the moment, to be honest. It got a bit too defensively minded, I think. When the game started to get away from us, we felt like we had a real disconnect between like our sort of back six and our front four, and we just were struggling to get it up to and really do much with it, which is why we're just constantly under the pump. So in that regard, I think they both probably defended quite well, and they'll both, but I don't feel like that really bought us the impetus. And I sort of wonder if like Jay O'Shea needed to actually drop back in more to help them and just also create the link, forward. I feel like he probably didn't get involved in the game that much. But also is it because, what was the instructions and where he was meant to go and stuff like that. So I'm happy enough with the pairing for the moment.
Yeah, I don't mind the pairing myself. I don't mind the pairing at the moment. I think that Akbari is is a good solid A-League sort of player and really allows us to open up going forward from a midfield perspective. It doesn't lock Jay O'Shea back, which is what I think is necessary for Jay O'Shea to be able to play his best game. I don't know 100% whether Akbari is the right answer. He does some good bits. He doesn't do some crash hot bits at the time. Danny Kim's obviously another option we could pull in there. He might do a similar sort of job. A little bit of me wonders whether or not we're missing a midfielder that's a little bit, I don't know if creative is the right word, but maybe just a kind of a box-to-box midfielder that can kind of get up and help Jay O'Shea, but also kind of be that outlet for Jesse Daly doing a bit of the grunt work.
Like Redenton was getting a bit more forward when he was playing in that role.
Yeah, look, I mean, Danny Kim could do that a little bit as well, I think. I think he's probably got the engine for it. So I wouldn't mind seeing Danny Kim playing a bit more, maybe a few games in the midfield ahead of Akbari, just to give that extra option. But at the same time, we've won the last 3 games with Akbari playing.
Yeah,
so
because I don't think
we're missing the Manny Mackay, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm describing.
Yeah, really. Someone's got a bit of an engine in there. Well, because I don't think Jesse Daly's gonna do shuttle runs, and Jay O'Shea ain't gonna do shuttle runs. But you need someone in there to be able to link that all up, just to kind of move the ball into those spaces, create those angles to play passes through the midfield and get it out wide or play it through to the center. So I'm hoping Danny Kim could provide that. I hope Akbari could do that, but I don't see him being that link play that that we maybe would prefer to have at the moment.
Yeah, that's it. All right, and probably we sort of maybe touched on a bit. So obviously no Joey Chantness in this game. Jewick not allowed to play against the team that owns him, although it was pointed out to me. Newcastle Jets side that he was officially signed to is no longer anymore, as that organisation no longer exists. So does that not mean his contract's actually void? Yeah.
Well, since he's owned by every other club in the league, does that mean he's allowed to play at all this year?
Or he's on loan from everywhere?
that's a real grey area. Imagine that, yeah. Well, no, it's only technically Western United, Western Sydney and
Sydney FC, yeah. But they're just the majority investors. Every club is, as a unit, I think, is put money in to help prop them up, but they're the ones that have put the lion's share in.
Yeah, fair enough.
Contract
yeah.
situation so, there, that's end of season, right? Like, players can't just leave now, else they would have.
No, yeah.
Let's face it.
They could probably leave in the next one if we next have a transfer window.
We're in January.
Yeah, I think our transfer window's closed. Not sure. I have no idea. They probably don't even know.
I'd like to see someone come and offer like $11 as a transfer fee. As a dollar for each club.
Yeah,
bucket of chips and a can of Coke.
All transfers will be done in $11 increments for Newcastle Jets.
For divided by 11? No, nah, yeah,
we're not doing maths around here. Everyone gets a dollar. I love it.
Who's the smart ass that made a $20 bid? Right. You're not getting your $2.
You calculator and work this shit out then, all right?
You're not getting your $2. We're splitting the rest of it between the 10 of us. Fuck you.
Exactly. So that does leave us in third place on the ladder at the moment. Still very early days. We have played 3, 1, 2, drawn none, lost 1, goals 4, 5, goals against 3, 6 points on the board, which is pretty good for one home game, two away games. Next up.
Since we lost the home game.
Yeah, it's a bit backwards, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, technically, we've beaten the teams that finished, 10th and 11th last season away from home.
Hey, don't bring us down. Live the dream, right?
I think the Flyers are just enjoying being allowed to travel out of Queensland.
Yeah. This was a nice. I liked the usage of the rules for this game to happen, because Newcastle's not part of the Greater Sydney area that Queensland doesn't allow you to travel from. So, this was a smart use of the regulations. This game, as we're obviously looking for people to play as we closed all our borders and masked up. What was I going to say? It was the first time we beat Newcastle back to back in 6 years or something stupid like that as well. So, wow. They've been our bogey team in more ways than one. So, beating Newcastle, not to be laughed at. Next up, it's Brisbane versus Adelaide. It's not on a Monday night. It's on a Saturday night. And on the 30th of January, it's an 8:15 p.m. kickoff at Dolphin Stadium. That's right. It's a nice light one, an actual proper Saturday night game. Of course, you'll all have to make sure that you all leave the ground very quietly because it will be past everyone's, and there'll be no chanting the game because it will be past everyone's bedtime in Redcliffe. So please make sure
it's a suburban area. Be courteous of the neighbours.
Yeah, because
they might have kids.
To this mean no Coles runs after the game either because they'll be shut. Oh, that's disappointing.
So Coles runs before the game, mate. Leave it in the car and go for it afterwards.
Well, Nesky. I can't leave my ice creams in the car all game. Jeez.
Nesky?
Nesky, a chili bin. Yeah, true. Yeah, I suppose I could.
I'm prepared.
Yes, Adelaide United. So they are in seventh position currently. They've played 3, 1, 1, 1, 1, drawn 1, lost 1, goals 4, 5, goals against 5, which all came in one game, and 4 points on the ladder. So because I think the draw was a nil-nil, wasn't it? And
must have been.
Who'd Adelaide beaten?
Melbourne City.
Melbourne City, that's right. Yeah,
and
Melbourne
they drew City. With one Western United in the first game
of the season. Yeah, and then lost straight after us to Perth Glory on 5-3 over in Perth for the first game for them. And they host Melbourne Victory before our game as well, so that's on this weekend. So, we've got the nice break leading into this one, whereas Adelaide will have been playing a bit more and travelling around a bit more. Certainly Perth to Brisbane in the space of 2 weeks is a bit rough. Adelaide, what do you reckon, Dave? Let's go here, Butsy. Any thoughts on Adelaide?
Look, after last night, it's a bit hard to say they're any good. I tipped them to be shit, and I'm kind of happy that I got I'm feeling justified in saying that now. I don't know. I guess I haven't decided if I think we're hot or we're trash this year. we're so in the middle, right?
That's the hard part about the season is actually knowing. I think we're still waiting for a
form guide's hard to kind of pick because everyone's got different time frames between games, and we're not talking it's a week or 5 days or 7 days. We're talking 2.5 weeks, or in Melbourne's case, 3 weeks before they play their game. It's hard to predict a form line, especially when that form basically is thrown out the window once you've had such a prolonged break or such a short turnaround. It's really something that we're not going to be able to know until maybe 10 games into the league before we have some sort of semblance of regularity, hopefully. And we'll be close to that by the time the currently released fixtures are kind of completed, but it'll take a bit of time.
Hmm.
If I could just elaborate more on what you were saying. Sorry, Pricey. Yeah, I think the thing that gets me is, even if you look a bit beyond just the games we've played, start thinking about like the players and how they work and how they function as a group. Like Warren Moon's put a pretty good team together. I think he's showing that he's got a bit of a good tactical sense. But I'm looking at things like, how do we play? Because I see, say you have someone like Riku, who I'm a big fan of, and like Jay O'Shea. They're kind of guys that like to play in short spaces and move the ball around. Guys like Akbari sort of fit that mold too. But then you get guys like Joey Champness, who loves the space. He wants to play end-to-end and take people on one-on-one. We have Dylan, who's similar to that. And then you sort of have Corey, who's a bit more fast and loose, and Jack, who's a bit more structured. And I'm sort of looking at our team and going, is that going to come together in a coherent pile when we start facing the, you know, the Sydney FCs and the Cities and some of these teams that are a bit more organized and a bit more maybe physical even? And so that's why I have trouble, because Adelaide's a competitive team just on energy. I don't know if we'll just blow them away because they're bad, or if we'll struggle to come together like we did against Newcastle. That's what I can't pick.
Yeah, look, they've got a very young team as well. It's one thing that Adelaide have certainly focused on this season, is getting much younger as well. So with Bruce Chichet in the director's, what's his role? Director of football, squad manager, whatever you want to call it. So they're definitely going very young, and that's looking at that whole pathway of develop youth. That's what you sell on to then make your money. And it might mean they also be a little bit inconsistent. So. But they're still a pretty good team. They've got Tommy Urich up front. Like, he's still a quality striker. If he gets the chances, then there's a good chance. Then, you know, that could be a problem. Michael Yaksman, Michael Morone back there in defence. Like, they're decent defenders. Delanoff has been a pretty good keeper. Young Joe Coletti, one of our favourites around here from when he was around. Ben Halloran as well down the wing. You know, Ben Halloran can turn it on occasionally. He's a pretty, I think you'd call him a mercurial player, or... Yeah, you know, you'll get a great game out of him, and then he won't do anything for three games. So, yeah, some of the young players. Hey, well,
that's okay. He scored yesterday. So
excellent. Good. Yeah,
he's not going to do anything until February. So it's fine. It's fine.
And like, if you remember that that game that we went down the Gold Coast, that first game after the return of the season, and Adelaide were, they lost a couple of players, pretty tight, and still did us on the, just did us that one. No, you could see something similar happening, I think. Do you remember that one, Butsy? We had good pizza before. Did you come with it? Yeah, you came with us, didn't you?
I do remember that. That was the swan song before they all left, and then we didn't see them again.
Yeah, went down to Sydney for the hub to end the season. So, yeah, look, it'll be interesting, an interesting one. And, that's a late game, 8:10. I'm not going to lie. 8:15 is pretty late, but it's something I'm looking forward to. Yes. It's something,
But it's quarter to nine for the South Australians, so they're going to be really tired.
Oh, exactly. Yeah? They won't know what is up.
And all those young players. January, is it?
30th, yeah.
Oh, I know someone having a birthday on that day.
Yeah, it's going to be down at Redcliffe. Pricey, you wanted to know about where the servos were in the region, so that you could get your ice cream post match. I did a little quick research while we're chatting there, and look, it's a couple of K away, but 7-Eleven at Redcliffe near the water there is probably your best bet. Just go for an ice cream and a walk down to Trots around the corner. I wonder if they got anything going on. That'd be a really good night, actually.
I think they're normally in a weeknight. The
Redcliffe Cup 2021.
And also, it's the problem is the getting out of the car park part, Dave. That's when you need the snacks for getting out of the car park.
Just walk there and then get your snacks.
And get whoever's back. Driving meter to come.
You'll be really keen for have a lot of snacks by the time you get to 7-Eleven, 2K away.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're really hungry by that stage, the Macca's is across the road, so you're fine.
Yeah, it will be all right. It will be fine. Dolphin Stadium is going all right. Hopefully the hot pies will be back there from Margate Hot Bread, and I'll tuck into one of them instead. That'll do us for A-League for the moment. And there are a few extra games got all announced today as well for the next couple of weeks. So that's, and there's quite a number of home games coming up. So it's back to a more regular sort of
Check out our socials for that. We put them all up there today.
Yeah.
As a run through.
Exactly. So you don't need us to listen out, and we'll obviously deal with them as we get to them, and hopefully nothing gets in the way in between.
Just for those who don't know what our socials are, we're at The Rawcast on Twitter and just The Rawcast. Look it up on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRawcast. So look us up on there. Early plug for the socials. Yeah. Thank you for thinking again.
Thanks, mate. All right, let's get into a bit of dub. That's right, W League. This game happened, the first one happened ages ago. It was a long time ago. It was Brisbane Roar 1, Katrina Gurry in the third minute with, they're both Thunder Bastards, but we'll get into that in a second. And then Canberra United responding through Grace Maher in the 78th minute. 1,079 attendance, I reckon there was more than that, personally, but hey, whatever. Bookings, Laura Hughes in this 32nd minute picked up the standard yellow for Canberra. Two absolute great goals in this one. Which one do you want to talk about, Dave?
Well, I'll talk about Katrina Gorries. She belted it from about 25 yards out, and it's gone over the keeper and in, and it was probably the best way to start a football game. Ever.
Yeah.
I'll say ever because why not? No one's going to argue it, but why not?
Riku might.
No, he was 6 minutes
in. He was late. Oh,
yeah.
He held off.
Yeah. So, I was in the raw call for this one, and it was an absolute great strike. She hit it from that side of the ground, and just her first goal in a number of years. And I think we'd literally talked about on the last podcast about how she keeps trying and hadn't actually scored. And well, she went and absolutely belted in the top corner. Keeper could do nothing. So that's, that's just great.
I can't believe she hasn't scored for like 2 weeks now. It's just ridiculous. What's she doing?
I know, Saka.
I figure if we say it every week, she's going to score well.
Exactly. And the problem was we didn't get to say it before the next game, which is why we're recording tonight.
That's right.
So she's guaranteed to score in the next game.
Pick your socks up, Gary. It's not good enough you haven't scored in a week since your last one. It's terrible.
Danny, letting the team down.
Yeah.
Used to be player of the year, Gary. Come on.
Danny, have you seen Grace Maher strike from long distance?
Honestly, it was a while ago. I watched the game, but I can't remember.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, she just picks up the ball. It's like inside the center circle, and she just nails it long and the backtracking that Georgie Worth did, she could not get back fast enough. And the wind just, from memory that day, the wind was absolutely pounding to that end.
Definitely in favour to that end. Yeah. What would you call it? The
northern end. The stand end compared to the clubhouse end.
The doctor in Western Australia that comes in of an afternoon.
Redcliffe Rascal?
Redcliffe Rascal. Well, it's kind of coming off the coast, right? So that corner where the wind was coming through, that entrance corner, that's kind of where the coastline is. So, and it's, you'd imagine it'd be whipping up through there into the northern end. So, yeah.
The Redcliffe Rush.
The Redcliffe 7-Eleven end.
The 7-Eleven end.
The 7-Eleven end and the clubhouse end.
7-Eleven wind.
Yes. It was. And that was, so that had a big impact on the game, as it sort of does. And, she did nail it well, and Georgie Worth couldn't push back fast enough to just get a hand to it. But
she was caught off. She was caught off her line. She was caught by surprise by it. And I think Mar has done that beforehand too. It's not the first time she's hit one from that sort of distance. She doesn't do it regularly, but she's done it a couple of times before, I think. It's good vision by her, to be fair.
When you've got the confidence, you've done it before, then you probably know you can look for it. And, yeah, apparently I think she's done it a bit in, like, the NPL, MNS New South Wales.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
So, look, this was a great game. I thought, obviously we were pretty worried about who's that striker up forward for the Canberra United, who has been in the Matildas before. Heyman, thank you, Dave. I think we're worried about Michelle Heyman, but, Kim Carroll and Polk's just absolutely, they knew what to do with Michelle Heyman. Like, yeah, we've played you a bit. We've got your number. So we're able to pretty much got old. But then again, I think she did smash the bar.
Still say, that's the best two centre-back pairing in the league. It's just so much experience, so much knowledge, just smart players, right, and play centre-back and know how to play centre-back and know how to distribute the ball once they win the ball back. It's I think it's the best centre-back pairing in the league. Heatley out wide. Who's the other one out the other side?
Miller Rankin.
Rankin, right.
I know that because
they're,
I want to
they're probably the two weak links purely because of their experience in the league. Although I see a lot of promise in Heatley. I think Heatley is going to be a fantastic player as she develops in this league and the more time she gets. So I hope she has a huge season because she will deserve it. Rankin didn't miss, but again, youth, right? So we'll see how she goes with improving on there. But otherwise, like, we've considered 2 goals in 4 games. It's not terrible. And we'll get onto the second game in just a second. And probably where the
the issue is mainly at the other end of the park, right? So it's, yeah, I'm not complaining about our wing backs at the moment.
I wouldn't say that entirely. And I'll tell you what, we'll mention very quickly, that was Gilnick's 100th W League game.
Should be noted, Katrina Gorey dominated that game and was like player of the match by far. She was fantastic. Oh, yeah,
absolutely. And what I was about to mention, Gilnick probably didn't have her best game in her 100th.
No.
Much better in the 101st, but not quite in the 100th. But getting on to that Jets game, which was next, and I'll let you kind of do the thing in just a sec, Pricey. But the first half of that Jets game, we were terrible. And it was because we were giving up so much in midfield. Not necessarily the back line, but the back line was maybe a little bit put out by the fact that the midfield just wasn't giving them that support in the first place. Wow. And letting the players flood through. Sonny Franco could have won the match for Newcastle 3 times. She hit the post twice in the first half and was always pushing on and threatening us and making it hard for us to get the ball out. And I think that's probably where we maybe can improve the side or maybe improve a little bit. I mean, striker-wise, we're also struggling a little bit, right? We're not putting the ball in the back of the net, but I think we lose a little bit in midfield when we don't have the ball. If we've got the ball, we're fine. We're moving forward. We can play it around. But if we don't have the ball, I think we lose a little bit.
And that's the interesting part, right? Like, Isabel Dalton is, you know, she is a good player as well for the quality of the league, and she's that offensive midfielder. Like, she was playing, what, right back last season, and I think defensive midfield is maybe more a go, and Katrina Gorey certainly knows how to run around and, well, she certainly knows how to kick people. but, you know, she can help dominate that game. I would agree that, yeah, she's probably much better when we have the ball, Gorey, than necessarily maybe so much the tracking back. But yeah, certainly Dalton's pretty good at that. And who's the other main midfielder? Letitia McKenna, I think, as well, has probably been out of the main.
McKenna was up top, wouldn't she?
Sorry?
She's at the top, wouldn't she?
Is she? I thought she was more.
For sure.
Maybe. They seem to move around a bit, to be honest. They do rotate around a fair bit.
Those bloody players that move.
I know, right? Just stay in your bloody position.
Imagine footballers moving. But whatever happened to Sabudio, right?
Exactly. Just know your position on the field and don't go and bloody move about.
If we're not playing table soccer, I'm not having it. That's
Exactly.
I think you're thinking it's not Sutton. It's
Sutton was much more forward.
Looking at the team list, I'm trying to work out where everything was. But
I thought McKenna. Yeah, because Hecker's out wide. Gilnick starts out wide. Yeah, I thought Letitia McKenna was. Oh, she was more with me on like the attacking forward, but
yeah, maybe Sutton McKenna's maybe kind of a top two with two wide players, and then you got your Dalton and your and you go from there. But give us the rundown of what happened in the second game prior.
Yeah, I mean, we've already sort of touched on it already. 100 games to Gilnick, yeah, like you said, well done to her. That's across the whole of the W League, the 100 games. So she has obviously played for at least Melbourne Victory. Has she played for someone else? I think it was just Melbourne Victory.
I think it was the Victory, yeah.
Yeah. So well done to Gilnick as well. She is a superstar. So, and it was Newcastle Jets 1, Tara Andrews in the 12th minute, climbing up a tall for the header to put it back past Georgie Worth, back past their far post. Brisbane Roar 1, M. Gilnick popping up in the 101st game in the 54th minute with a long-term long distance shot. 1,371, which is not bad for the Newcastle Jets on a. No, that was a post game. That was an interest, I think. No, pre game. A curtain raiser.
This is the main event, my friend.
This is the main event. Cool. Main event after two other weird teams played each other in something that no one cares about. Yeah. Bookings to Hannah Brewer in the 64th minute for Newcastle. Kim Carroll picking up a yellow card for Brisbane. Jeez, we haven't had many yellow cards this season, I don't think. It's almost about our first. Newcastle Jets. And, you're the main one that watched this one, Dave, so you've already sort of said that. And, what I wanted, and absolutely the highlight show, Sonny Franco, she should have probably buried one, really. The fact that she... Yeah, she was good enough, but she got in good enough positions and then just didn't finish the deed. She probably, I think, had five great chances, which is too many for one player to have. But if you get five chances against a team that everyone expected to be pretty good, you should probably score one. So
yeah, and look, she probably blew a few chances there and really could have secured a win for Newcastle. That's for sure. And we're fortunate that she didn't. Jesus Christ, we were letting them. I think. As I said before, and about the midfield, I think we're seeing what happens when we don't have Yallop.
Yeah.
And Yallop being out creates a hole that we aren't filling with what we've got there. And look, you're not going to fill a Yallop-sized hole in that midfield because she's Tamika Yallop, right? She's a Matilda. She's one of the better Matildas, and she will always be.
Leading goal scorer in the W League. If not the leading goal. No, I think Sam Kerr is
the leading goal scorer for Brisbane, but she's one of the best players we've ever had and will ever had probably. So it's always going to be a bit of a hole to fill. But I don't think they really thought about how they were going to fill it. And maybe that's more the issue. With that said, I did leave a note here as well regarding Olivia Chance.
Mm.
Holy crap, when she came on. And you saw this a little bit in the previous game as well against Canberra. When she came on, she creates opportunities. She is a playmaker that will... She's the J.A. Shea of the side, if you want to relate it back to the men's side. She's got the ability to pick a pass and put a player through. And sometimes that vision's much better than the player that's receiving the ball and they don't realise that's where they need to be. the first touch that she had against Canberra, she put this amazing ball through and the player was kind of running there, but I don't think they realised that they needed to put their engines on to get there because it would have been fantastic if they had done it. And she did the same thing here against Newcastle. She was... I really want her to start. I think she would. I think she'll cause all sorts of troubles for the opposition if she gets a start.
He also has probably the best punnable name of the W League.
Yeah,
you get you need to give her a chance.
Actually, there was another good one who in news has actually decided to leave the club, but Billy Murphy, because that's the banner the Raw Corps have done after half was. Billy. What's the Clash song with Billy?
Isn't it Sex Pistols or was
yeah,
it?
Sex, yeah. Anyway,
I don't know the way you're talking about, but yeah.
That'll probably actually be disappointing if that keep showing that one because it's such a great punnable name as well. Anyway, that's beside the point.
If I can weigh in with something serious on the end of that game, though, I liked Emily Gelnick's post-match interview, and they basically just—I don't know. Sometimes you give them a bit of rope because it's early in the season. The W League teams tend to change a fair bit, it takes a little while to get your feet. We've lost a lot of players to Europe. Didn't quite know how W League would fall this year after COVID and the like. And so we've sort of given the team a bit of rope, but Emily came into that conversation with the Fox commentary team and basically said it's not good enough, drawing four games, all winnable games, probably haven't put in a full 90 minutes properly at our quality. I remember that first game against City. It was City up at Redcliffe, and we were just all over them. Like, the way we played was stellar, and to not come away with points there, tragedy. And now we're here saying the same thing three times further, and Emily came in and just said, look, we're not happy. We should be winning. So I like that. That's the kind of attitude I want. I don't want this, we haven't lost, or, we're playing all right. Let's have a bit of winning attitude, I was happy that she feels like that, and that's the culture in the team.
I think she had an on-field interview for a 100th game after the Canberra game as well, and it was probably, you could definitely tell, like, she was like, you know, she was like getting her like 100 games, I don't know what they gave her, it might have been a framed jersey. I think that's pretty standard for us. And it was sort of like, I think there was, but there's disappointment in her voice that obviously we'd drawn and like we just hadn't been able to put our chances away. So, yeah, you know, at least she did score in this one. It was a bit of a sort of, you know, it was a little bit classic Emma Gilnick when she had that sort of be able to strength and pace to be able to use to get past the defenders. But, you know, a better keeper probably could have saved it from that far out as well. So, yeah. The one thing I wanted to point out about our goal, the goal we conceded actually was even though we talked about Polks and Carroll being great centre defenders, it was noticeable for me that sort of Kim Carroll was sort of right in line with Tara Andrews, decided to stay stationary for defending the corner, and Tara sort of followed the flight of the ball backwards much better. And just in the end, she ended up against Jamila Rankin, which was just a complete height mismatch, and was easily able to out-head her and then, you know, and then obviously get it back past. So whereas probably if Kim Carroll had been the one following her, then that would have been a much better matchup as well. So, you know, it's just sort of smart play from Tara Andrews to sneak off and, you know, loot. Wasn't really marking it, you know, where they're sort of in line with each other, but they're still probably 5 metres apart. They're both sort of watching the ball. Yeah, just read the fly of the ball a bit better. But, yeah, so that was probably the one thing I wanted to point out about that one. And, yeah, Em Gilnicks, I thought, was just, in the end, it's a bit long-term speculative because, really, we just punt it long and she's outrun the defenders. So, you know, good work by her. Smartly puts it, you know, shoots early, was able to sneak it past the goalkeeper. Yeah. It'd be interesting. Dave, do you reckon Olivia Chance and Gori can work in the same team together? Like, by the sounds of it, if she's a very similar style pal, if it's all about looking at the passes and really hit those options, will those two be able to work together?
You won't know until you try.
Yeah, and that's true. That's true. I mean, it's certainly something that we definitely don't know what our best lineup is in
what
the
WWE. What have we got to lose? A point?
Yeah, we could get no points, Dave. We could get
Wow, which is 1 point.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, anyway, the W League team currently in fifth spot with played 4, won none, drawn 4, lost none, 2 goals for, 2 goals against, 4 points. That is just pathetically sad to read, unfortunately. One team that did have... You
know what's worse? Can I just read this out for you? After today's result, we're recording, just for the listeners, we're recording straight after Adelaide versus Melbourne City game, which ended up being a 2-0 win, 2-1 win to Adelaide, sorry. Melbourne City have 5 games, 1 win, 1 draw, and 3 losses. This is the champions of the W League. They've conceded 12 goals.
To be fair, half of them were in one game against the team we're about to talk about.
Have they conceded 12 goals or not? They have.
Yeah, well, that's 12 goals with Jenna McCormick in it as well.
Twice
and,
as many
and,
as any other team. Noah, the next closest is 6. I shall leave that one out there for the listeners to digest. Carry on, pricing.
Shag and Rado, we trust. The next game is Brisbane Roar versus the Melbourne Victory. So this is coming out probably by the time as you begin this year, it will be the day that it comes out for you, listeners. So Friday the 22nd of January. It's an 8 p.m. kickoff down the Gold Coast.
Pumped. You better be listening to this show on the way down to the game.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, that's it. We're getting this out just in time for your road trips down to watch this one. So this is at the Gold Coast Sports Centre. It's at it's where the Gold Coast Knights play. So it's sort of opposite the side of the road, across the road from Carrara Stadium, Metricon. Down there, and we've played some preseason games in the A-League before down there. So, and this one is also a smart usage of getting around the whole what parts of Brisbane are under restrictions from Victoria, which is great. So, you know, Gold Coast people, chance to get out, see some great W League action. Brisbane v Melbourne Victory, going to be a good quality game. Lisa Devana up front, Melbourne Victory, she's still a quality player. This is obviously a nil draw when we played a few weeks back. Melbourne Victory since then have beaten Melbourne City 6-0, then lost to them 3-2. So they'll be looking to rebound from that one. Much more we want to say about that one? Fair enough. We've been talking more than long enough.
What I will say is really quickly, Victory are hot and cold. We played them. We got a nil draw. Since then, they've had 2 derby games. They got beat. They got beaten. They won one. Hot and cold is probably the right term for them at the moment. So hopefully we catch them when they're cold.
Yeah,
that's his score. So
you can get a win. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. They've played three. Well, if you want hot and cold, they've played three, won one, drawn one, lost one. So, you know, the one they won 6-0, and they've had a nil or draw and a 3-2 loss. So, yeah, consistent is definitely the name of it all.
I think they're going to score in this one. They seem to be good at that.
Yeah, they probably will. 4 points. So, yes, that's it for the W League. So get around that. They've also got about the next three games out as well. So double-check our socials and the Brisbane Roar socials as well. So a couple of games. They've got a Sydney FC game coming up. Actually, both teams got a Sydney FC team coming up. And I can't remember who else they got. I think they might eventually play Perth as well. So yeah, get around it. Let's move on to a little bit of news. We already probably sort of touched on this a bit, but Young was out with a significant injury, leading to probably the goalkeeper with the best name getting around, brought in as an injury replacement. Is he at Lions now? Is he? He was an ex-Strikers boy.
Yeah, he's Lions. He come from Lions.
Okay, well, he was at Strikers.
Warren Moon signs a Lions player. Drink.
It's almost like they're for our feeder club. It's almost like we share a heritage with them or something stupid like that.
Nah,
it wouldn't be like that, would it? Bon Scott, of course, former lead singer of AC/DC, into the goals if the freak has a freak of nature. And so well done to him. He's been a pretty good goalkeeper.
Where do we go if we need another goalkeeper then? If we've already pillaged Lions.
Olympics. I think he's pretty handy. I don't know. Who else had the best goal difference record in the NPL Queensland? We'll just keep taking the next.
Have there been any A-League goal? Glenn Moss, where's he?
Glenn Moss? He's getting pardons from Donald Trump.
He just got pardoned by President.
I thought of him. So he could come back. That's fine. He's got nothing on his conscience.
You know why he needed a pardon, right? He could never build a proper wall, so that's... Try
that to sort him out. Don't shush. Not bad. Not bad. Not bad. I don't know. I think there's a pretty good goalkeeper. We'll just get Croker back. We'll just get him loaned back.
Just get Croker back. That's not the answer, mate.
What's Ted Overlappy doing? Ted Overlappy's still got to be around, doesn't he?
Stat, and can't quite remember who it was. I think it might be Matt on Twitter. Apologies if it's not you, but the stat was Macklin Freck made more saves in his debut game than Max Crocombe did all last season.
Yeah.
That's okay. Max Crocombe traded up to go to Victory, right?
So sorry if I got the wrong person for that, but that is a stat.
Yes, yeah, I think you are right in saying it was Matt on Twitter. Yeah, fantastic. Charles
Freak.
Anyway. That's who we could go and get. We had the goalkeeper that went to Gold Coast Knights. Used to be on our youth team.
You know, the first thing I thought of was Mitch Nichols. I'm like, he's not a goalkeeper.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, where's White these days?
He'll be around.
To one of the other clubs. I thought he was. Went to Victory for a bit.
He's someone's backup this season, isn't he?
I don't know. Anyway, let's carry on.
Well, FHG, Aiden Munford was the goalkeeper of the season for the Gold Coast United team in the NPL men, so maybe that's who we should have gone and got.
There we go.
We couldn't do the AC/DC thing then.
No, exactly. And then Joshua Langdon from the Gold Coast Knights was the goalkeeper on the bench, so makes it almost, why did we go and get Bon Scott?
Because then they could play the AC/DC on the announcement. Yeah. It's not who's the better keeper, Pricey. It's about social media. You should know
fine,
this.
Dave,
sending a message.
He's not going to play, so get some friggin' akadaka on the socials and just fucking enjoy it, all right?
Oh, if he's not going to play, why didn't we like hire someone like Bowles or something? Get some coffee in the team and...
He's probably got an exclusive deal with the club that the club's not going to pay for, so that's all right.
Some other news has been floating around. So Football Australia, the federation, brought out a white paper for a transfer system in Australia. Nice long read if you need a bit of bedtime reading material.
I didn't know that was a thing. What's that all about without having to go read it all?
Nuts and bolts is basically introducing a transfer system.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the simple thing. I think it's like 70-something pages of details on how they're going to do it. But I think if you want to buy a player, you pay money. If you don't want to buy a player, you don't pay money. And it's much like
if you want a player from Newcastle, you need to pay in increments of 11.
Yeah, you got to pay.
That was actually in there. That's actually rule number one as well. It's weird, but
it's rule number 11 on page 11.
Oh, actually, by the way,
today, law 11.
Today is the 21st day in the 21st year in the 21st century. There you go.
I was not ready for you to drop a bomb like that, Pricey. I'm done.
I know, your silence stunned me. Anyway,
it sucks for you, Pricey. When this show goes out, it won't be that day anymore.
Well, we're recording, so shut up, Dave.
Anyway, increments of 11.
Yeah, increments of 11. Please die in increments of 11. there was also the National Second Division also bringing out more information about how they're looking to proceed as well. So which then ties in obviously to the transfer system as well, because that's obviously going to be a revenue sort of source for them. So they're looking to kick off in 2022. They reckon it's viable. Shock horror, group that wants to set up something thinks that they're viable. But we'll see what the Football Association thinks. Reckon a participation fee of about 200,000 a year. Annual budget's looking to be 800,000 to 1.6, so you know that's a step up from what your NPL budgets would be, which your NPL budget would be a couple hundred thousand.
Apparently, some clubs are at that sort of like low end of that budget already, like in the 900,000 sort of budget anyway. So some of them might not be a step up at all. They will step up because they will be the clubs that want to participate at the higher end of that. It doesn't seem like it's too much of a step up for some. The only
certainly your Souths, like your South Melbournes, and you know your big traditional sort of clubs down in Sydney, Melbourne. That yeah, I'm not surprised. I think that would be a big step up for many Brisbane and NPL clubs.
Mate, Gold Coast Knights with Mitch Nichols there bringing in the cash. They'll be at 1.6 million. Don't worry about that.
They've got a nice
little resource to bring in funds around surfers. Right. Perfect sort of audience.
Will be all right.
And then they've got the people that come to the football too. Yeah. So they'll be bringing
in. Will be all right. They'll get all the Brisbane transfer fees. So. Stop the moment with that.
Yeah.
You want Bon Scott? Sure, you can have him. $200 a week. Go.
$200 for the ACDC songs.
$200 a week. $200 a week, or a few of you need to come spend a lot of money on our pokies.
$200 a week, or you can buy us some more pokies.
Whichever.
The only question mark I've got over this is any time a national second division is brought up, it's been, we're going to do it in this time. Oh, we're going to do it this time. It's like we've heard the projected time frames. Until there's something saying, we are starting on this date and we have these clubs and this is when it will happen. I mean, great that they've got some sort of structure and they've got probably a little bit more information than what they previously had. You know, $200,000 participation fee. Okay, cool. With 12 clubs to start with, that's at 2.4 mil. That's a good little pot for them to work off as a starting point for the league and obviously ongoing from there. They've got the rules, obviously, in terms of what, you know, minimum of 3,000 fans can fit into a stadium, and you know, you've got to have a comprehensive women's program with a view for a national second division for the W League. 3 years further down the track, all good things that they're putting out there to say that they want to have here. We've seen the timelines though for I don't know 6 years we're going to have this second division out within 2 years. And then 2 years comes by and says, yeah, we're going to have a second division out in the next 2 years. Maybe it's progress because we're down to 1 year. Who knows? But
I want
to see that progress take effect before I think, it's definitely going to be happening. It's great.
I'm struggling because, like, we can't even get our bloody 12 A-League teams owned, like, for starters. And that's semi-serious, semi-kidding. But, you know, like, if you slap...
The A-League's a meme league, mate. It's okay. It's not semi-kidding. It's all kidding.
But you take 12 teams, 16 teams in the next 5 years, and they're going to be second division. Like, is that a pathway to getting more teams into the A-League, or is that actually throttling teams from making an A-League bid to get to 14 or 16 A-League teams?
That's that's going to be the big thing, right? Like, because realistically, we've generally made A-League clubs out of nothing. Like, MacArthur is not something that existed before. How do you, you know, and we keep talking about areas we want to have teams as well. So the ultimate aim is that it's a proper pyramid and you will have promotion, relegation from A-League to Championship and vice versa. So that's the ultimate aim. Look, that's not in this run, though, Dan. It will definitely be, I think it'd be much more like the MLS and what's their fit? It was yours, Nazzle, but now it's something else, I think, that next tier down over in America. So, you know, if you can sort of prove that you're getting decent crowds and you have a brand and it's, you know, then that maybe is going to be a good way to jump up and, you know, we don't already have four teams in the same place.
I think it may not necessarily be just like that where, like, okay, you've reached that point. Have you got the capacity to jump up and have you earned a ride or anything like that? I think it's very much going to be a case of they'll get the A-League to at least 14 teams to start with, preferably 16 themselves. The National Second Division starts with 12. I think the aim was actually to get to 16 pretty quickly, so I don't think they're looking to fuck around with that. I think they're looking to kind of establish that. But with 3 or 4 years to kind of establish the league, establish the teams at that sort of in their sort of supporter base, right? If for whatever reason teams drop out of the National Second Division, go back to NPL, that's not going to be the biggest worry of the world. Apparently there's 32 teams that are involved in the setup of this, or 32 clubs. So I'm sure you'd probably have 20 clubs that are like, yeah, we can do something. And 16 would be end up being in there with a couple waiting in the wings for, you know, opportunities should someone have to drop out. Or they create a third division. But I think the view to promotion relegation is very much 5 or 6 or 7 years sort of process down the track, wait for the A-League to bring up to 16, then create that promotion relegation, as opposed to we're doing this and we're expecting you to kind of do promotion relegation straight away. Yeah,
that's where I'm getting stuck, right? I just can't see you doing both. You want to, not you, but we want to set up, I think 16 is a good number for the A-League. Say in 10 years' time when we look back, we go, yeah, 16 is where we wanted to be. That's where we got to. I can't see us doing that because it's a big investment for those extra four teams to come in and then also running a second division. Because I think if you give those teams the choice, they'll go, well, we'll just spend less money, get in the second division, and then when that's ready to do promotion, even if there's no relegation element, then they'll promote. I think that'll throttle the A-League somewhat, getting to that number that they need or desire.
I think you might find that this second division might be a kind of a split between professional and semi-professional sides, though. And that might lead the professional sides to say, well, look, I want to progress because we don't want to be playing sides that are semi-professional. And those sides that are professional in that second division are going to be able to earn transfer fees and build and whatnot. Semi-professionals, I don't know if they can because they may not necessarily have players under contract. I think there's a technicality around semi-professional players being able to say, see you later and I'm off. I could be wrong. Sorry if I am. But it's my football manager process coming through, if anything. But it's... I think you'd find that clubs in that second division will become ambitious, and that might become a gateway to say, all right, A-League needs to admit two more clubs. These are the five clubs in the NSD that have shown the aptitude to be able to do X, Y, Z, and they've got the performances on the park, and they're already professional. They're not having to invest to build that setup again. We'll take this one. We'll invite this club, or we'll invite this club, and that's how you could build up straight away without having, as Pricey said, clubs come out from nowhere. Whereas it's not promotion relegation then. That club could have finished sixth in a 12-team league and still be invited because they've got all the other aspects that tick the boxes. It'd help us if fucking South Melbourne get into the league. But anyway, that's a very broad, so that's a big, big topic for another day.
Yeah, that's it. The details will just keep leaking out over time, and I mean, it's still all proposals at the moment. I do agree with what you say, Dave, in that sometimes you just want to see, okay, it's actually starting these days and these are who the clubs are going to be. Until then, it's still talk and, yeah, it's just proposing. But, you know, it's still interesting. And how is football going to shape up now? It's a time of change, and that's why I think now it might be slightly more serious. Let's move on from that bit of news as well. So I think we covered Billy Murphy leaving from the Raw W League team as well. So professional footballing sort of commitments was clashing with her work commitments. So just and probably I think she was more probably going to be a bench player. So it was probably like, do I really want to? So it's good luck to her as well. She's a good player. So I would thank you for her efforts. Let's move on to, have you got a Dave's game ready?
Yeah, I do.
Dave's new game. And it's Dave's new game. Yeah.
Right. So, Dave's game. Now you hear the music and we can carry on with it. I've got a topic. And it's Pricey versus Dan in today's episode. I think Ben won the last episode, so Pricey, you got.
Still waiting for those Asada results, to be honest.
And Dan, this is your first one for the season, I believe. So this will be a big one for you. Basically, the topic, we'll give you a topic. There are a certain number of answers. In this case, I believe there are 17 answers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, it's about 17 or so. And basically, the first person to get one of the answers wrong loses. The topic is players from the 2019-2020 season played for Brisbane Roar men's side and appeared in 10 or more games. Has they played in less than 10 games? Nah. They played in the full a full double digits. Now, of course, 10 games can include A-League and FFA Cup. This is a combination of. So 17 players.
Good question.
Given given Pricey's bottom of the ladder on technicality, on Dan's in the Perth Glory spot where he hasn't played yet. Pricey, you can go for
this game. hey, we'll go for Tom Aldred.
Tom Aldred is correct, yes.
Damien Young. Yeah.
Jamie Young is correct.
Macaulay Gillespie.
Just going to build out from the back, aren't we?
Macaulay Gillespie. Yeah, the back line. Macaulay Gillespie is correct.
I'd go Scotty Neville.
Scotty Neville. Yep.
Jack Hingett.
Yes. Dan.
O'Shea
played 24 games like Gillespie had.
I am going to go for... Oh, crap, this does get hard quick.
It's hard because they've had like a split season.
I'm like, trying to think through players. I'm like, oh, well, how many probably played?
There's 17 players and we've named 6. There's a full team of players you can name yet.
This is the Raw cast. We are the experts on the Raw.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's wasting time now, Pricey?
Yeah, O'Neill, please.
O'Neill.
Yeah, and that was mine. Oh, no, else? I'm stuffed.
Yeah.
How many games? 10?
At least 10.
My favourite player, Brad Inman.
Yes. He had 23 appearances.
That was getting me a point in this competition.
He said one good thing every the entire time. Pricey?
Scott McDonald would have played more than 10.
Scott McDonald did not. He played 9.
Oh, do I win?
And win. Congratulations and suffer in your jocks, Pricey. So just to give you the full list. Gillespie, O'Shea, Neville, Aldred, Inman, and O'Neill. They were the ones that we had. Next was Amadi Holloway. Dan's favourite. That was a miss from you, Pricey. Jamie Young, Dylan Wenzel-Halls, Roy O'Donovan, Jacob Pepper, 13 games under his belt, Jack Hingett, Mirza Muradovic, Stefan Mork, Danny Bowles, Corey Brown, who came in right on 10, and Jake McGing, who got 10 as well.
Mork played more than 10.
Wow. Started 9, came on off the bench, then fucked off to Adelaide.
Wow.
He had that one bench thing and got dropped the next game. He went, getting dropped thing. Bugger this for a joke. Fuck Robbie Fowler.
To be fair, he left to go to Adelaide and then Australia went to lockdown and he was still running around the boys in Bulimba Park for like 3 months. But,
And then Adelaide made him captain. So
yeah, now Adelaide made him captain.
He had a 5-year contract. He had a 5-year contract and he bought a house here. So, he probably thought he was going to be here a bit longer.
Stop giving people 5-year contracts. Warren, if you're listening, mate, just don't do it. Even if they're from Lions, just don't do it.
Well, I mean, Dylan Wenzel Hall. Can we not? No? Oh, okay. All right, let's do a bit of tipping.
I mean, it's a surefire way to tank him.
Didn't learn from Shannon Brady. We didn't learn with Stephen Moore, so, you know.
How long-term got? Well, no, the Broich long-term contract went all right.
I mean, that was the exception that proves the rule, though, right?
Exactly.
Editor's note, because I have the power. Scott McDonald has played 14 games since joining us last season, according to Ultimate A-League. I will be raising this issue with the Court of Arbitration of Sport. Thank you.
Let's do some tipping, Dave, and when everyone can go home and I can edit this podcast.
All right. So as a bit of a recap of last time, actually, I've got to bring up both of the chat. I'll bring up what the actual scores are at the moment. We've had a lot of tips, a lot of people getting things, a lot of things not going through. No perfect scores, no donuts, which is nice. But the current ladder stands as is. Yeshiva and Dan on 13 points. Ben, one ahead of them on 14. Pricey and Rick on 15. The listeners, you're all on 16. And I am on 17. Now, that includes the game that just happened today in the W League, so Adelaide, Melbourne City. Everyone got zero, so didn't affect scores really, but good to know that that's where the scores are after that game. Very, very tight. I did have a bit of a lead at one point, and you guys...
We've wheeled you back in.
You have. It literally, I said 13 to 17, everyone's on a point somewhere along the line there. So very, very close. Now, we're still waiting on tips to come through from Ben and Rick. Yeshiba's taken the mantle of, I'm just going to tip every away team because he hasn't put in tips. And I think, you know, that's a pretty good way to go about it. He's not doing too bad given the fact that he's, you know, within 4 points of the lead. So...
He's actually normal tipping. So, yeah, fair enough.
Exactly right. So let's start with the dub because why not? And tomorrow, as we just spoke about beforehand, Brisbane versus Melbourne Victory, down on the Goldie. Who are you tipping?
Draw. Definitely
want to
draw.
Yeah, I'm thinking draw. I don't have the faith.
Draw seems to be a fairly good response at the moment. I'm going to go with draw because, you know, form.
They're going to go all season and draw every game and be undefeated.
New Zealand at the 2010 World Cup.
Newcastle versus Western Sydney on Saturday in Newcastle. Pricey.
Let's go draw. I can't split those two.
I'm going Western Sydney.
Yeah, I'll jump in on Western Sydney as well.
Canberra versus Perth in the capital. I'll probably go Canberra for this one, I'd say. What do you reckon, Dan?
Yep, I'm on Canberra as well.
And Pricey.
Canberra for me too.
We'll swing back over to the A-League, and we've got five cracker games, all starting with Sydney versus Central Coast that's tomorrow, on Friday.
Yeah, that's a
problem. Yeah. Pricey, what do you reckon?
That's Sydney FC, please.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And yep. Dan?
Don't believe the hype. Sydney's going to bring him down a peg.
I think the hype train died down a little bit when Matt Simon went into Ziggy Gordon's face and told him all about the lovely palm trees at that end of the field. Ziggy Gordon was laying on the ground. Western United.
He called him a Scottish dog or something?
This is Australia, dog. Western United versus Perth on the Saturday. Down there in Tarni. No, they don't have a stadium there yet. That can't be right. I'm going to say Perth. Pricey.
Yeah, Perth are pretty good.
Perth, Dan. I'm going to go with Dan for Pricey.
Oh, well, Perth are pretty good. I'm going to tip Perth after last night.
Pricey.
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaning towards Perth after that result, but then it's also flying halfway across the country and playing like 4 days later. Yeah, it's a tough... But Western United? They're okay, Western United. Draw. I
don't think about it too much.
I'm cutting into splinters.
Western United play well, except United when Rude gets
too smart. Put me down to Perth, please, Dave. Perth.
All right. You'll change your mind by the time this segment's over and you'll be on Western United again.
He's going to add that in as like a robot voice. Western United.
Western. Adelaide United versus Melbourne Victory. The original derby, the original rivalry. I can never remember what they call it. It's derby or rivalry. I think it's rivalry.
Rivalry.
Dan, what do you reckon?
Both teams suck, so I'm going with draw.
Draw. Are you saying both teams suck on the basis that Melbourne Victory have lost their only game all season?
Yeah, sucked last year, yes. You're only as good as your last game, right? So
it's true. This is true. Pricey, what do you reckon?
I'm actually thinking Adelaide will bounce back at home.
Yeah, I think I backed Adelaide on this one, just because it's a derby at home and they're usually pretty boisterous about that one. The Ducks hosting Newcastle in the other side of Sydney derby.
The outskirts of Sydney derby.
We're trying to say the Greater Sydney derby.
the greatest Sydney derby. Although Newcastle is not part of Greater Sydney. I am going to go for the Knicks.
That we're trying to stay out of the Greater Sydney derby.
Yes, yeah.
You're going for the Knicks? Okay, I think I will probably do the Knucks as well. What do you reckon, Dan?
Yeah, I'm Knicks. I really want Jets to do well, but they're just...
I think the Knicks are probably a step above what we are, and we beat Newcastle. So
yeah.
Victory. Yeah,
that'll be Newcastle's third game in like 6 days as well. So yeah.
Victory versus Perth, in Melbourne again. So luckily, Perth don't have to travel too far. What do you reckon? Actually, I'll pick this one. I'll take this one first. I think I was tipping Victory for this one. What do you reckon, Dan?
Perth glory.
What do you reckon, Prizey?
Draw.
Righto, Splendors.
Fuck off.
that's the tipping, ladies and gentlemen. Look, you can join in on the tipping. Our polls are all up. They're very exciting because the polls are up. No, don't do that. Just put the tip in.
Go and put your tip in on Twitter. Look, the orange dick is gone, so you know Twitter's a safe zone again. So. Yeah, that is it. That'll do us. That's more than enough podcasting. Thanks for joining us again. Thank you, Mr. Danny Butler.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone.
And Mr. Dave Stewart, thank you very much.
Cheer, bro. Cheer.
That's it. All right, you can catch us, of course, as we said before, on facebook.com/rawcast, twitter.com/@ the Rawcast on Twitter. These are uploaded at anchor.fm/the Rawcast as well, and you can find us on any good podcasting platform. Anyway, we'll catch you sometime after we've played more football. I will not guarantee when that will be, but it'll be sometime after we've played more football. Bye-bye.
It'll probably be February. Let's face it. We're not going to do a show after the very weekend game. Anyway, bye.
Anyway, bye.
Love you.